everybody, and welcome back to another exciting wrap-up episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Mooney. I'm here with...
Paul Abramson, known as the Moo Cow.
We also have two friends here who will join whenever we're talking about certain things or whatever, but do you want to introduce yourselves?
No.
Okay.
From the peanut gallery, that is our friend, Just Jen.
It's funny you say peanuts, and we got the peanut candy there.
That's right.
All right. Anyway.
And we're also joined by...
Paige.
Yay. Hello, Miss Paige. She's eating peanuts. There you go. Eating the actual peanuts in the peanut gallery.
Okay. So you and me are mainly going to be talking because we were the ones who pretty much did this. So let's begin with talking about how season one and season two are completely different than this season.
Oh, yeah.
Season one, we started with Just Jen, who was in the peanut gallery there and said no. we love her to death, but she was our first co-host.
Yeah, she was in the first season. She came to us begging to be part of the show. And right. We were like, I don't know.
I think we have different memories on that.
Yeah, I think you've talked about this on the show
many
times, that the fact is you wanted a female's perspective on these really crappy movies. So you got, and this year we actually got quite a few. We'll go into that in a little bit.
Then Justin broke our hearts in season two and was unable to show up all
exactly,
the time.
But it did lead us to getting other guests.
That's true.
So,
and then
once again, there's a bright lining to the dark cloud that came with her saying that.
And then Lenore was able to step in, and we had other folks. And then finally, season three arrived. Well, and
okay, so let's talk about that real quick. So Lenore and Jen, I believe, were the only two females in... all of, what is it? All of season two, if I'm correct.
I think so.
Well, Yolanda came in at one point.
Yolanda was just
Lenore's
and Kim,
sister.
They were both there at the end.
Yeah, so they were both there at the end, but really it was mainly guys with us. So, Paul had this thing where he was like, yeah, well, we've got enough guys in our show. Nerdy guys. We need more women. And so we actually, the first episode that we brought back, well, we brought G. Larry Butler was the first episode back, and that was for Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, which we wanted to watch because I was moving to Hollywood, and that was the end of season two. We made that big announcement that I was moving to Hollywood, and I was going to, be leaving Virginia, so we had to figure out a way to do this. So the first episode we decided to do is Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers with G. Larry Butler, who was in what movie of ours for first season? Paul.
God, Double the Avenger.
Double the Avenger, which Jen actually kind of liked, I think.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she thought it was and I think a lot of it was the charm of G. Larry Butler's crazy character that he played.
Right.
So we had him.
Al Purplewood.
Yeah, and we got to actually do it at his house. So that was pretty cool.
Because at the time, when you moved out there, I drove out there with you, and we figured we may as well start off the season, we would do a few to start the season off with.
Right. And we do a few out there. So we did two while you were there. Because we also knew, and we also did other shows, and we'll get into that, but we did... we wanted to do a couple shows because we knew you were going to be gone, and we wanted to at least have two shows where it was us together. We didn't think we'd actually be back together. And we'll talk about that in a little bit,
because
of COVID, we actually did which COVID did bring us back together.
Yes,
which,
it did. Yes, it did. Because we thought we were going to have to do, one show a month in L.A. with you and friends, and then I was going to have to do one a month from Virginia with friends, and that we were going to have to try and figure out how we were going to continue to do three scores for each show when you were going to have to find two friends and I was going to have to find two friends.
But we did it. You actually found a way to make that work with our stinkometer, so that I give props to you for that.
Just to keep things consistent.
Yes, exactly. So the first episode was Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, which... We'll go through this. So that one got a total score of 23.5. That was my Paul's score of 6.5, my score of 9, and was a G. Larry Butler's score of 8.
Right.
So that was a 23.5 and total score.
And this was not the one with Bonnie.
No, Bonnie didn't show up till mine, I guess, and stuff. I don't think you've had an episode with Bonnie yet,
no,
have you?
I haven't.
Bonnie is G. Larry Butler's daughter.
I just tormented them with stinky movies for kids.
Yeah.
Little stinkers.
Little stinkers. All right. So then after that, we did Baby Ghost.
With Lila and Bobby.
With Lila and Bobby. That was your choice, which I think I had to buy online or something, you know, or whatever. I had to get on Amazon or something.
And they loved it.
They did. I mean, still got a, well...
It's
actually
still a crappy movie.
I got me like me I think Lila and Bobby liked it a lot more than like I did, and like I think they're still not used to watching really bad movies, just like many of these people are not used to watching
I gotta
these
break
terrible
them in
movies.
A little
yeah.
Ways.
Oh, poor people.
I know. And so Lila and Bobby were really close friends of mine, and we decided to bring them, haul them in. And so they did Baby Ghost, which 8.5 for Paul, 9.5 for me, 6.0 for Lila, and a we didn't put him up, but I think he also gave it a lower score. I think a 6 or 7 for Bobby.
Because they loved the music. They kept singing it the entire time. The
Baby Ghost song.
That's right.
And it was... It's by the same people who did Roller Gator. So you might have actually enjoyed
it. You would have enjoyed it. It's fun.
It was
It's
ridiculous.
Rick Nicholas and terrible, but fun.
And it had like Joe Estevez and Conrad. All
so
the
many
people
the same
from
people.
The, you know, yeah. Mm. It was like part of their like trilogy, which I really hope you did the little Lost Sea
really?
Serpent.
We're
going to
do
point.
It. We're going to do it.
So 24 was the total score for that one. Zombie
next.
Cop was next. That was me.
That's you.
That was me. And it was the first unanimous 10.
Yes.
Now, you didn't rate it, you know. Would you rate it a 10?
I probably would not have. I probably would have given it a 9, but it's bad. It's really bad.
Well, you did not rate it. Yeah. So we're going to do that, too, since you and I were not a part of each other's podcasts at some points. So we didn't actually have ratings or whatever.
Right.
I will, you know, we'll do our own.
I had that movie previously, and I had seen it before, and it was kind of on my list. It was just buried. You
right.
know, it's just
yeah. Well, you
had
so
many.
Yeah, you had so many to choose from. So it was a 10 for me, 10 for Lila, and 10 for Bobby. So
they
absolutely
hated it.
They hated that movie. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot better. I remembered it. I even did a review of it. I had to take off the internet. I gave this review that was actually like, oh, this is not that bad. And then I rewatched it. Nope.
It's probably the worst Tempe movie ever. And
so,
even Buck Calder himself disowned it.
Yeah. Bookwalter himself.
Sorry.
Yeah, Bookwalter, J.R. Bookwalter and the writer of it, Matthew Jason Walsh, they both disown it. So Robot versus the Aztec Mummy is the next one that
awesome.
Paul did, and you did that with
Lenore and Joe.
I've seen the movie, but let's go. You said 8.5,
mm-hmm.
7.5 for Lenore and 8.5 or 8
for
Joe,
right.
Which gave a total score of 24.
So we were pretty consistent there. We started off pretty darn stinky for season 3. I had high hopes for this season.
Yeah, well, you were not let down. I don't think so. All right, so I would have given it probably an 8 as well. Mm-hmm. It was not terrible. I watched every single one of these movies just like you do, because you watch them because you have to do the reviews on the webpage, which if you go to indiefilmcafe.reviews, you can see Paul's like little essays on the movies and everything. But yeah, you thought it was an 8.5, and I thought it was an 8. So yeah,
pretty close.
You know, and 7.5 for Lenore. Lenore always gives like lower scores. I think I feel like you know. So after that, we did. Oh my goodness!
All right. This is the one.
Yeah. So we introduced Bonnie Butler, who is G. Larry Butler's teenage daughter, to these shows. Yes. And
15, 14?
Yeah, 14. Oh. I think. You know, maybe and 15.
Jonathan picked what most people might think of as the wrong movie to show her.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it had, I didn't remember it having so much nudity in the movie. And the most awkward thing, I even said I could turn it off and us go get another movie. I had a bunch of them in my car.
Look at Jen's face.
And Larry was just like, we'll keep going. And she was like, yeah, we'll keep going. She barely talked through the podcast. She did not want to talk about this movie. She did not like it. Yeah. She did rate it a, what was that? She rated a five. I guess. Wow.
You have to say the name of the movie.
It's called John Johnson's Shadowhunters. Yeah. And
a movie which I actually liked a lot.
Yeah. What would you have rated it?
I probably would have given it like a three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I give it? I gave it a six. She gave it five, and
it's no more budget than most of the other movies we ever see. But John Johnson has a way of really making good with just a little bit. He's really good at making characters. He's really good at dialogue. This particular movie did have extra nudity and stuff on there, which happens. You know, it's a thing. Well, so it's not the one that I would have chosen, but it happened, and, you know.
Well, okay. Well,
she got past it.
She got past it. She, you know. The worst part is, like, if we did it through Zoom and I didn't see her face, it would have been a little better.
Awkward.
Like, or whatever. But, like, seeing her next to me and going, okay, like, this is so, like, yeah, uncomfortable. But, so, then the next movie after that was Crater Lake Monster,
which I really thought was going to get a worse score.
Yeah, well, you didn't even give it a terrible score. You gave
it
an 8.
It's a bad movie.
Out of all, like, 8s are not terrible for you in your world.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Lenore gave it a 7.5, and you gave it a 7?
I gave it 8.5, I think.
Oh, you did?
Wow. No, I gave it a 7.
Yeah, he was going to say you gave it a 7.
And then, yeah, and you 7.5 for Lenore. So let's explain that real quick.
Those bumbling hayseeds.
Paul couldn't find, like, a third person, so he had a great idea of asking if I could give, like, a 10-minute, I think it was, like, 5-minute. Like, a 5-minute little recap review of the movie. So I'd watch it. I was watching it in my place in Van Nuys, and I was like, you know, this is kind of a fun little cute little movie. I mean, it's not terrible in the sense of, like, a lot of these sci-fi 50s movies are,
but it was the sort of solution that we came up with before Zoom.
So we didn't have Zoom. Otherwise, that's probably what we would have done, right? Is had us all three on the show, because we didn't actually discover Zoom, I think, or using Zoom until, like, I want to say close to June or May or something. And by then, I had already actually recorded a few other podcasts and stuff, too. So, so a total score of 17, I want to say. Was that it?
Right. And that was that was for John Johnson's, and that was the lowest score.
Oh, that was 17 for John Johnson.
And then
and
Crater Lake Monster got a 22.
22 and a half. So, all right. Let's see. Then after Creeping Terror was The Giant Spider, which was not made in the 50s, but looked like it was made in the 50s. And
oh, no, man. We did, it was Shadowhunters, Crater Lake Monster.
Oh,
Sharkenstein.
Okay. Yes.
And that was with Jackie, your roomie.
I was with, well, at the time she wasn't my roommate, but yes, she's my roommate now. And we did it with you, me, and her. We did the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't find another person to come over and watch these movies. I don't know why.
How could you not find somebody who want to watch a movie called Sharkenstein? I mean, Sharkenstein, come on. Shark? Frankenstein? Perfect.
You can't see Jen, but she's giving the shrug. I don't know.
She gives us the stink eye is what she's giving us.
Why not? I mean, who wouldn't want to go see that?
I'll tell you again, get help.
So Paul gave an 8.5.
It was bad.
I give it a 9. And Jackie, who's just like you, has never been used to these things, thought, well, this is my first time doing this, and it wasn't nearly as bad as I was expecting it to be. She had fun. She laughed at it. She thought it was stupid. She was, you know.
Stupid?
She, I mean, come on. There's a shark that literally walks on land and stuff. Like, it's just ridiculous. And flies. And flies. It was just ridiculous. So, but it was fun. It was done by Mark Polonia, I absolutely loved it.
And his movies tend to be goofy, wacky, fun movies.
So. Okay. So then we did, and that was a, wait, hold on. We got a total score of that one.
23.5 We were all in the same wheelhouse the first half of the season.
Yep. Then we did The Creeping Terror.
Such a bad movie.
So, once again, Paul asked me to do my own thing, and I don't hear what they have to say and everything. Apparently, Lenore and Paul both thought it was a 10 and thought this was, like, the worst. Because I think what he was trying to do was he saw that I did 10, 10, 10 for Zombie Cop, and he got all jealous and wanted to do his own.
About that.
You know.
I just love pulling out the worst movies. And this is a movie that literally they lost the soundtrack. So the guy had to pay someone to narrate the entire film.
See, if I knew information
John's
like that.
John's doing this. Then he did this. Then he did this. And you have to hear that the entire time. And it's this big, awful, stupid rug. And rather than run away, everybody just stands there and allows themselves to be slowly eaten. It is just so bad. Uh-huh. But it ended up, there is a documentary, because this is a famous, famous bad film, called The Creep Behind the Camera, which I got on DVD. It's fabulous. And it talks about where this all came from and the weird guy who sort of came out of nowhere and ripped off a bunch of producers to make this movie and then vanished. And there's this whole interesting story that probably is more interesting than the movie itself, unless you're a stinkhound like myself. But it's a glorious, glorious movie. I showed it to Lenore, and Lenore thought it was the worst thing she had ever seen in her life. Of course, this is early on in her life.
Yeah.
So I just assumed Moody was going to see this and go, oh my God, this is horrible. But he actually found more positive things to say about it than any of us.
Yeah, so when I said my last piece, I guess I was like, you know, saying these positive things and saying how much I actually enjoyed watching it. I mean, it's just a 50s stupid, like, thing. I mean, it was bad, but it was fun to me. I don't know, I enjoyed it. But I didn't think it would be a 10, and jeez, when I found that out, I was kind of sad.
You know? I mean, like, you gave it an 8.5. That's still pretty stinky.
I gave it an 8.5, so there you go.
So that was almost, we thought it was going to be a 30, but it wasn't. So.
We were going to thought it was going to be a 30.
But it got a 28.5, so that was the highest stink total outside of Zombie Cop.
So after that, we did do the Giant Spider. And
The Mimiverse.
The Mimiverse. And these are not that bad movies. Plus, they are not, there's no nudity. There's no, not that bad of violence. They're all done like old-fashioned 50s.
Christopher Mim does throwback-style horror films.
From like the 50s and stuff.
And they're fun.
Yeah. But they look real. Like you would literally think the Giant Spider movie was a real like 1950s movie. And I had to bring G. Larry Butler and Bonnie back for that one. Because I had to redeem myself with showing something that's a little bit more kid-friendly. Which led to Little Stinkers.
Little Stinkers. And of course, I had no reason to redeem myself, so I had no problem sending them stink bombs like Santa Claus meets the ice cream bunny.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And stuff like that. It's pretty awesome. Awesome.
But they did that for 6 episodes. However, Bonnie had to leave because, and we'll get into all that because we're going to talk about a lot of what happened in 2000. A lot happened in 2020.
That's right, 2020.
So we're just going to try to get through all of these first. So the recap for this. So Giant Spider, I gave it a 4. I guess was it Bonnie gave it a 3. And Larry gave it a 4. So a total score of 11.
Which was the lowest score for the movie this particular season at that point.
At that point. There is one that gets a lower, I think.
I probably would have given it something like a 3.5. Because it's actually, it's pretty good.
Cute little movie.
It's still low budget, you know, there's still low budget issues, but it's overall, it's a really good film.
Yeah.
All his movies are really good films.
Yeah. So, and you have a bunch of them, too. I do. Yourself, so.
Not as many as you, I don't think. But
I think I have almost all of them, almost. All right, so after that, we did
Robo-Chick.
So this was our first Zoom.
Right.
So we were, I had to send you the file for it, but we did this through Zooms. We did, what is it? We did this with Rebecca and Julianne. And this got quite a reaction.
I really expected them to hammer this film, and they surprised me. They gave it better scores.
I would have.
It's a terrible.
I don't remember what I gave it. I'd have to re-listen to the podcast. On the top of my head, I probably would have given it an 8 as well.
The star leaves a third of the way through the movie and quits, and they have to put in somebody else that looks vaguely like her. So they stick this big giant honking blonde wig, fake-looking wig on her to try to pass her off as the same actress, and it's not. It's so ridiculous.
So you gave it an 8. Rebecca
gave it a 5. I couldn't believe it.
And Julianne gave it a 7, which, you know, I mean, Julianne and Rebecca both watched really crappy movies. They are used to this. So I think maybe that's the problem with Rebecca, especially, because she's sort of like you. She loves these things.
Rebecca
like,
has a hide to her. They're a much thicker hide than I would have expected.
Yeah.
That ended up being a 20, which, you know, again, that's still high, but it's not nearly as high as I would have thought.
And then I had to bust out The Asylum, which is our first Asylum movie. I can't believe it. We have not done The Asylum yet.
So many we have to hit.
I know. There's so many, but all right. Alien versus Hunter.
Such a ripoff movie.
Yeah, it was a ripoff. It was supposed to be Alien versus Predator ripoff, and it was just kind of boring and silly and not as much fun as like a lot of other movies. But it got an 8.5 by me, an 8 by, I believe, John Ward. Joe gave it an 8. And John Ward, 7.5.
So a 24. So we're 24. Back in our wheelhouse of lower mid-20s.
Yep. And then comes, you say it.
Next came Hanneman and the Five Riders, which is a, talk about a ripoff movie. There's this whole thing of these Japanese weird Hanneman ant superhero movies that are official. And Sampote Sam, who is an Indonesian director, decided he was going to make his own without permission. So he stole bits and pieces from several other movies and then took some crappy, cheap, shitty footage of his own and mixed it all together and made this abomination of a film that is so wackadoodle, batshit crazy. It's better than what we saw at the scene. I mean, in my opinion, it's better and wackier and worse than what we just saw. But it's,
I don't know if I can trust your opinion.
It's amazing. It's amazeballs. And everybody was blown away by it. And that was Rebecca as well. You saw that one, didn't you?
Yep.
Yep. What did you think?
I mean, I thought it was terrible. It was awful.
But fun.
Yeah. I mean, because honestly, I'm not really into that style. Like, I'm not into, like, Kabuki or, you know, all that, the Japanese, that style.
Yeah.
However,
Asian stuff is crazy.
However, it was so fucking nuts that I was just like, the fuck am I watching?
Yes, it was. It was batshit crazy. And just when you think this is supposed to be for kids, there's like weird bits of nudity and women climbing poles naked with spikes on them, getting whipped from behind.
It kind of reminds me of Sergeant Kabuki Man from Troma. So where it's got kind of a mixture of both stuff for kids and stuff for mature adults.
Best of all was the fact that this was dubbed by people who had no interest in the film, no idea what's going on, and just made up a bunch of goofy shit. Probably were smoking pot and just made the film. It just made it so much fun.
Okay.
It was a 10. I mean, it was
all of us was unanimously 30. A 10. Oh, it was our second 30 of the year. All right. So then we did Arcade, which was me. Because
Moody had to back shit up after that. It was like,
I know. We had to kind of... I was like, well, I think I'd already recorded Arcade before this anyway. But You took a while because you had to find it or whatever, watch
right,
it. And then,
right. I had seen it, but it'd been a while.
Yeah, so you had to do that, and then you had to review it. So you reviewed it because I was supposed to have Jackie there. I will say this. We were supposed to have Jackie, and unfortunately, Jackie got so bored in the beginning of the movie. It's not her style. It's not her thing. So we were like, me and Dustin were watching it on Zoom together, and then we ended up, Dustin Hubbard, who this was his first time on our show. So a lot of people's first times because of Zoom.
Right. It's actually not a bad film. It's a pretty good film.
Yeah, it was a pretty good film. You gave it a 4.5. I gave it a 2.5. And Dustin gave it a 1.
Yeah,
this is like his favorite films. Movies. It'd be like if we reviewed Ed Wood or you reviewed Local Hero.
So that's how he was able to lure Dustin on there. He's like, we'll do Arcade. He's like, okay.
No, Dustin will do a really bad movie next season, trust me. That was the lowest at the time. And I think that is the lowest.
Yeah.
That's the lowest so far of the season. Then you did
Blood Brain from Planet Eros with just Jen and Lenore.
And yes. Would you want to come here and say something about that?
The evil brain on a string that bumps people.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I like the older movies. I enjoy the cheesiness of the black and white movies. You know, they're just too dumb. I think we're so separated with it time wise that you can just enjoy it.
And I have to admit, I was feeling a little bit guilty from the last few Neil Breen movies that I made you watch.
Oh,
so
you were not.
I was. And I knew you liked the old throwback movies. And I knew Lenore loves anything with bad science. So I figured this would be perfect for
it
you guys.
It was funny watching her freak out about the bad science. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. It drove her nuts, I guarantee you. Because I remember last season.
She's a science-oriented person who works for NASA. And it's all science, STEM.
You would like her, I think.
She's way cool.
Yeah. She was like basically talking the whole time out of from what I heard in the podcast, she was just going crazy on the science stuff. She's really good at recapping.
Yes,
I mean, I feel like we need her on more to recap what the movie's about, you know. She can pretty much just do that.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say?
No, I was just saying it was kind of funny chatting with her afterwards when she's talking about all the science because she's usually a quiet person. Every time I've been around her, she's very, you know, quiet, keeps to herself,
introverted.
Doesn't say a lot, very introverted. Thank you, that's the word. And then when that bad science comes on, oh no. She will tell you every bit that's wrong, and then some.
Right.
And she knows, like, so much stuff about things that I'd never even, like, when I watch these movies and they say stuff like thermonuclear, blah, 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 you know, or something, I'm just like, okay. You know, because I know nothing about that. So I can't, like, go, that's got to be wrong, you know?
Right. And I can do that to a certain level, and definitely when it comes to archaeology, but Lenore can do everything.
She's
so amazing.
Completely.
Medical stuff, science stuff, chemistry stuff, you name it.
Yeah, so she did a really good job. And so... for that movie,
back at a 14.
Yeah, so you gave it a 5.5. If I had to rate it at all, I'd probably give it a 6. You know.
Lenore gave it a 3.5, even though she complained about it because of George the dog. She loved the dog.
Oh well, I mean, yeah, but which we thought, and you even thought in the podcast that was. You know, you like the dog? All those things. I said that to her because, like, he's in it, but he's, like, not, you know, like, he's, I guess, throughout it because the brain does, you know.
I guess the moral of the story is Lenore will forgive a lot if there's a cute furry animal in there.
Just don't let her watch the last movie we just watched.
Yes, I know.
All right, so we'll get into that later. And then, let's see. So, Jen, you gave it a, what did you give it?
5.
A 5.
So I think I gave it pretty good. Comparatively.
Yeah. So it got a 5.
So it got a 14 overall.
Got a 14. That's not bad. Then after that, of course, I had to bring back the stinkiness too, of it, and we did Mutant Vampire Zombies from the Hood.
Lord.
Wait.
And
Mutant Vampire
Zombies. From the
and
Hood.
It's just as confusing as the title. It's ridiculous.
It's bad. It's terrible. but I had two of my friends, one named Mackenzie and one named Kinsey. So that was fun. Both McKinsey's watched this. And the funniest thing about it is, if you listen to the podcast, Mackenzie Kelly completely talked about how much she actually enjoyed it, you know, for how bad it is. She also works for the asylum, so and the guy who made it wrote Sharknado. I don't think that was why. She just does. I think she feels something for those kind of things compared to the other Kenzie, who just does not like. She's not a big horror person. Period. She thought it was, you know, okay or whatever, but it was not nearly as good, and she thought it was pretty bad. So I gave it an 8. It was a pretty, you know, it was an 8 worthy. Mackenzie Kelly gave it a 7, and of course Kinsey Phillips gave it a 9. And what would you have given it?
I probably would have gone with an 8.5, to be either an 8.5 or a 9. It was pretty bad.
Okay. So then, of course, after that, Paul had to go and bring us a Kevin Strange movie.
Finally, we get to Strangeville. I've been waiting and waiting and
waiting. Well, you couldn't do it in the first season because of Jen.
Right. So this is one of those movies that does a lot more of the weird, wacky sex stuff, but way, way, way over the
top. And thank you for not inviting Bonnie for that one.
I know. Yes, yes. There's a certain audience that I can show this movie to who will get the fun, who won't be just lambasted by the fake bloody fluids and boobage and craziness that's going on up there. And Kevin Strange will do this. He will take a gag and he will explode it all over the place, and that's just where the fun is. But he does it in a very, very fun way, and you can't imagine how much interesting and complex dialogue that all his actors have to spout. It's really amazing, and it's actually a pretty good film. He makes pretty good movies.
Uh-huh, and I like how you're looking over like you're trying to convince me of this.
Yes, it's not going to happen.
If you could forgive the body fluids and the boobage stuff, I think you'd probably see it as a fun, interesting film. But yeah, you're not going to forgive that, so that's why I'm like... Yeah, not going to show.
That's why we created What the Fuck Friday originally, exactly. Anyways, because we should have had the tagline. These are the films we can't show.
Can't Jen. Show Jen, not without her giving us the stink eye. Because Moody showed her, what was the movie? It was Ski Wolf, and there was this one scene in Ski Wolf that just went on and on and on.
Of course, and then I had to later show her Romeo and Juliet, which she also was like, that's just terrible. So, you know, but...
So some of us have learned which movies we can show Jen and which we probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
If we want her to keep coming back, and we do.
Yes, exactly. So, but we could show Rebecca Reinhardt
this
movie.
Yes, we could, because Rebecca's quite the opposite. Rebecca's like, no matter how horrible it is, I want more.
Yeah, she's just like a female Paul, which I don't know if it's a good compliment or not, but like, she
only
loves,
hot.
You know.
That's debatable.
only hot.
Yeah. So, Rebecca was, let's see, Lisa, you gave it a 4.0, I gave it a 5.0, and Rebecca gave it a 6.5, which I'm actually surprised about thinking about that now, I guess.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, and with the total score of what, 21.5? Five?
Stiff Job's got a 15.5.
A 15.5, okay.
So really, when you look at it, the scores run between, you know, a possible 0, which has never happened, all the way up to 30, which is really bad. 15 is right in the middle. So a 15.5, I mean, anything under than 15 or 15 and below is generally going to be pretty decent. So 15.5 is
it's
pretty
good
decent.
Going up there, getting back up there, though, you know, but it's pretty decent. And then, let's see, after Stiff Jobs, we did... Of course, we did we had to do a Grizzly movie and everything.
Marshmallow Bear.
And we did a Grizzly Rage, which he's called Marshmallow Bear because that's what the bear had to got to eat every time that he they made him growl, look like he's growling.
They would,
you know,
feed him marshmallows.
It would feed him marshmallows.
It was so
after.
Cute.
But they didn't show it. Show that, right. You know. Obviously, they showed it, made it look like a scary movie. But it's really just if you like think about it being like. His name was Coda, the bear, and every time they would go, Coda, smile, he would look like he's roaring, you know, but he wouldn't roar, just look like he's roaring,
and he'd get
then
a bunch of
he would get him a bunch of marshmallows.
That
so adorable.
Precious.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
exactly. Unfortunately, the rest of the movie wasn't.
Yeah, the rest of the movie was not. That movie got, was it an 8.5 by Paul? Right?
Right.
Yeah, 7 by me. And Mackenzie Kelly watched it, gave it a 6.
I was surprised by that.
Well, she, once again, she's one of those people that looks at these movies a little bit differently than you. That's true, she actually thinks, like, if it's got some kind of redeeming value, she'll like it. If it's just, you haven't shown her it. You haven't shown her a 30 yet.
I've been careful with Kenzie.
Yeah, well, you want her to come back.
Exactly.
Just like Jen. But she's actually, you know, I mean, I don't know. She kind of forgives a lot of things. And I think that's because she works in the special effects.
She's a sweet person, too.
Yeah, so. She works in the special effects department, so she's kind of very used. She got mad about the makeup, you know.
Yes,
and everything.
Or the lack of makeup.
Or lack of makeup, which I don't blame her. What was
21.5.
21.5 for that.
Stinky, but not horribly stinky.
And then, of course, you had to go pretty stinky for that,
fairly
too.
Fairly stinky. We brought out Octoman.
Octoman.
Which is this guy who's dressed up as a rubber octopus, and he kind of waddles around and slaps people with his arms. It's so ridiculous. And he has these little whiny octo-rubber buddies of his, and every time they whine and complain, he comes out and slaps the shit out of someone. It's so ridiculous. It's such a goofy-ass movie. And that is where we brought back Lila and Bobby.
Which I was very happy about, because we hadn't had them back on for a while, and I wasn't sure they were going to come back after Zombie Cop.
Right. They really hated that.
Yeah, so if they hated that, I was like, but they came back for you, Paul, because you asked them. You asked Lila.
And again, Lila is another person you kind of have to be a little cautious about what you're going to show her. She's also doesn't appreciate a lot of, you know, misogyny or anything that's really bad, even if it's presented and it's terrible. But I had a really good feeling that Octoman, because it's so ridiculous and kind of cute in a weird way. And they did enjoy it. Maybe not as much as Baby Ghost, because Baby Ghost, I mean, come on. How could you not love Baby Ghost? But
Octoman, we still need to show them Roller Gator at some point.
I know.
I think they'll love that.
I gave it a 7.5, and Lila went with a 7. Bobby actually went with a 5. I couldn't believe it. I figured.
See, Bobby does go lower. He did that with Baby Ghost, too, I believe. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what he gave it, but he did go lower, I think. Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed it.
He surprisingly liked. He was just like how Paige was on the last one that we did, where he wasn't sure if he was going to join the show or not. And then he loved the movie so much, he actually was happy to show. That was, I guess, the exact opposite. You hated the movie, and you wanted to talk about why you hated it. So that was a little bit different.
And I knew I wanted her on there, because she's over on the couch going, "Oh my God!"
She kept, like, putting my Ouija pillow over her head and everything, covering her eyes. Yeah.
I think she might have said, "Paul, I hate you," several times.
And
I meant it.
And she meant it.
My heart is
broken. All right. So Octoman got a total score of
19.5.
All right. After that, I was back on with two of my friends, this girl Tris Marie and Sarah Atkins, and we watched It Waits. And Paul's seen it too, so he can give us his thing. But let's see, I gave it a 5.
I think everybody gave it a 5.
Everybody gave it 5. What would you have given it?
I would have done the same thing. You know, it's not a horrible movie. It has some decent parts to it, but at the same time, it's fairly standard stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you give 5s on this show, it's not saying that it's bad. It's just saying it's kind of mediocre, you know, and stuff. That's okay, but like when you give a 10, sometimes you're giving it a 10 because you really, really enjoy how bad it is.
Right. This movie was not a bad film like that. It just wasn't great or, you know, just anything special. But there were definitely worse films, and this was, I would say, par for the course is kind of how I would look at it.
Yeah. So everybody gave it a 5.
So
I got a 15, which I guess was a little lower than Stiff Jobs.
Yep. Not by much.
But not by much. Next, of course, was
Catwomen of the Moon.
Of the Moon, which drives me nuts. I always want to say On the Moon.
Nope.
Of the Moon makes me like, why is it Of the Moon?
Right.
You know? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But you watched that with Lenore and Yolanda, her sister.
This was a Zoom episode we did. Lenore and her twin sister, Yolanda. And again, science or the lack of was the star of this film. And
anytime science is involved, you know Lenore will be there.
So this shitty rocket goes to the moon, and these shitty fake scientists go out there and they discover a race of cat women living on the moon who want to take over the Earth, because that's what you do when you're a cat woman and you're on the moon. And they have a dance, and it's just very strange and weird. And there's spider puppets who attack them and goofy shit.
Sounds like a bad trip.
It's a classic, classic 50s stinker.
And
you would have loved it.
Christopher R. Mem did a movie called Cave Women on the Moon.
That's right.
And I think, I'm pretty sure that's got to be like his homage
to that. To and that. Probably Fire Maidens from Outer Space. They're roughly the similar kind of a film. And, it's bad as far as pretty much everything, the bad acting and bad special effects and just goofy shit. So I ended up giving it a 9, Lenore gave it an 8, and Yolanda gave it an 8. So that one was fairly stinky. A 25 was the highest score since Hannah and the Five Riders. But
I would have given an 8 too, because it fucking bored me, honestly. Yeah. I watched it the other night so that I could talk about it on the show and the wrap up, and I honestly was not impressed by this movie. I just thought it was sort of boring. The characters were, you know, and then I could see what your love for it was, like people like fighting was ridiculous, and
they go to the moon and they bring, you know, handguns and cigarettes. It's like, what? This is such a staple of 1950s
and
Americans, you know.
And they, like, the girl knocks over the other girl with a rock, and then I guess is she dead, I think, or something? It's just ridiculous.
It's hard to tell.
It was ridiculous. So not the greatest movie, but not the worst,
no,
obviously.
It was bad, but there were worse films.
Speaking of worse films for you, you know, we watched White Wolves, A Cry in the Wild 2, which was a movie that Dustin and I loved for a long time. We brought my friend John Ward back, and then I read Paul's essay on it, and he absolutely trashed it.
Well,
we loved it, and he absolutely trashed it.
It's not so much that I trashed it. It's not a bad movie. It's just a boring movie to me. I had no interest in teenagers and their melodrama in the woods. That's what it is. It's teenagers and melodrama in the woods. The Mr. B falls down a cliff, and then they have to put their differences aside to figure out how to get him out.
And
I'm rooting for a bear or a tugger or something to come and eat these kids.
And a bear does come and knocks one of them down, but
that's it.
That's it. He doesn't actually kill them or whatever. But
it had all these sort of 90s hot for, we're famous for a hot minute in there. And I think that's, nostalgia had a big thing for you.
Well,
for me, there was no nostalgia.
Well,
so
it was a big thing for me because it was like, I watched it. I had to read the first book that was based on it, Hatchet, by Gary Polson. And then we got to watch in school, in sixth grade, I got to watch A Cry in the Wild. Then the same year, 93 or 4 or whatever it was that it came out, the sequel came out. And my teacher saw the new release section and was like, hey, we got to watch the sequel, you know?
Right.
And it had nothing to do with the first one except,
so
supposedly.
It's kind of a perfect nostalgia movie for you. It's about teens, and
yeah,
you saw it
when
you were a teen. And I hate teenagers. I have no interest in anything involving teenagers.
Mark Paul Gosselaar's in it.
I'm
from
not a teenager.
Saved by the Bell. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Amy Dolans, she was like Mickey Dolans' daughter, and the chick from, what was that movie?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. So there's,
as Panza.
Oh, and David Moscow from Big.
Right.
So it had some names to it. But, and it was produced by Corman, like Julie Corman and stuff. And I've always wanted to remake or do a thing for it, like write
something. So these guys thought it was decent and all gave 3s.
Gave it a 3. John Moore gave it a 3.
I would have given it a 7 because there's really good, like, scenery, and some of the acting is okay. It's not bad. It's just, to me, there's the whole concept and the whole plot and the story is just dull. I had no interest. So
of course, he had to do Attack of the Beast Creatures.
Yes.
Next.
Which I like to call Attack of the Bitey Puppets.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's this cosplay group from 1920s lands on an island after their ship sinks and gets immediately attacked by a bunch of little puppets who run like this, and then they just start biting them. And biting them and biting them and biting them and biting them and biting them. And that's pretty much the whole movie.
Gives a whole new term to ankle biters?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you wouldn't believe.
There wasn't
puppets.
Even bite ankles. They were biting their heads.
They were biting
everything.
Jumping
everything. It was crazy.
It was bad.
It was terrible.
Weird.
And Paul gave that an 8.5. I gave it an 8. And I think was it
Rimaku. That was our
Rimaku.
First, our first movie with Rimaku.
Yes. Rimaku gave it a 7. And she was a sort of, it became like a last minute thing.
Right.
We had Mackenzie, unfortunately, got work. So she couldn't make it. I think I asked somebody else. They couldn't make it. So Rimaku said she could make it. And
she's
so
like,
we planned around
watch it.
Yeah, and she loved it and thought it was just terrible and really enjoyed it. So for her first time out, I kind of felt bad for her to have that movie as her whatever. But it was fun. She enjoyed it.
Wait. You guys always say that. For their first time, we picked this terrible movie. I kind of felt bad, and yet
you keep doing it.
Do it.
Jen's like, nobody felt sorry for me, and I had all this crap.
No. You just like, oh, I felt sorry. You know, we had to do that. And then you do it again.
Yeah.
And then again.
Well, I mean,
well, there's a certain level of fun.
Today,
there's a certain level.
This is today. We did that with Paige, yeah.
Yeah. But these little bitey puppets have like little grass skirts, and they have a little idol, and you know, it's just so goofy and dumb.
I say I'm sorry, but I don't think Rimaku cared. Like she really liked it.
She had fun.
So we gave it a 23.5 on that one. Then. We so on Thursday we did a Zoom and we did Rebecca Reinhart again and we did Bride of the Monster, the Ed Wood movie, and we gave that, let's see, what was that, I think you and I gave it an 8 and Rebecca gave it a
five. She actually kind of enjoyed it,
and then for a total score of what,
21.
So basically that was our second to last episode. And then, of course, today we had our last episode.
The one I was saving for everyone.
And we talked about it on the show of like how it came to be, all that stuff. But we got Paige to come out. And
she couldn't wait to sit in on one of our films. And she was like, oh, I hope it's a really bad
stinker.
She said
she wanted to meet me. And then she was really mad at me after that. Because I let her watch this movie.
That's right. Root of all evil, Moody here, yeah, found this movie and suggested it to me. And I, of course, ran with it. And we are, of course, talking about Curse of the Mummy Cat.
That was the last.
Is that you both suck, but this movie sucked harder.
Yes, exactly.
And yet you gave the lowest score out of all of us.
I am holding out hope that there's going to be something out there that is worse.
This is Indie Film Cafe. There is no hope.
I'm starting to realize that.
Yep. There you go. There's no hope.
Our next tagline.
It's not just the ones that riff tracks, you know. It's Indie Film Cafe. There is no hope.
It was so bad.
With a fiery passion.
Oh, I'm glad to inspire fiery passions with someone at some point for something.
Something.
There you go.
Even if it's 8, you're welcome.
There you go.
Enjoy. Appreciate
but
it.
Yeah, that got 10s all around.
Except for
20s.
Her.
Except for Paige.
I wanted to, but I want to hold out hope that something is going to be worse.
There
but
might be. But look at Paul.
Poor young, innocent Paige still thinks there's hope out there.
Paul will find something.
This was trash. I don't doubt that he'll find something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little that I have known him for, the little time that I've known him for, I don't doubt it.
Yep.
The pit of hell is very, very deep. And just when you think you've hit the bottom, trust me, there's 10 times more worse things out there.
I've
got them.
So Jen gave it a 10, right, Jen?
Yes,
you
so bad.
Thought it was terrible.
Bad.
So,
I mean, you've been here as long as we have. Considered this the worst?
Yes.
So far that you've seen?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Hannah and the Five Riders or...
But she's gone through 2 Neil Breen movies.
Yeah, that's true.
It was boring.
Well,
the dialogue was so slow, so clunky, and it was just... Oh my God, yeah. It bored me.
Yeah, it was trying too much to be a funny homage mashup, and it just ran the joke into the ground and buried it several times and built a hotel on top of it. And then closed the hotel and set it on fire.
My favorite part was being able to trash talk it when it was over.
Yeah. When it was over, you were trash talking while it was going.
I know. There was some epic suffering going on from Paige throughout this film. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
So many questions.
We kept hearing about your brain cells bursting every time you were watching it melting.
I was trying to hold my head to keep them in there.
They're trying to escape. They couldn't deal with it.
Epic movie.
So that was our last one of the season. So
went
that
out
was,
with a bang.
We definitely did. And I was very happy that I felt like this season, I mean, amidst all of the craziness that happened, I mean, like we said before, it was really going to be difficult with us, with me being in Los Angeles and you being in Virginia. It was going to be difficult with us. But COVID did bring us together because we were able to do Zoom.
And thanks for the technology. Zoom is really, really, it's made things better for us because we can actually go ahead and get just about anybody. I mean, if you run into somebody, you know, one of the stars, you know, because we've been doing Indie Film Cafe Spotlight where we've been interviewing some of the folks in these movies. In theory, we could get one of them to pop on one of our shows.
A lot of them are afraid to talk about nasty other, talking bad about other people's films.
You can always give them a movie where everybody's dead, old films, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter. That's true. That's the thing. It's like we're not critics. We're not trying to be critics.
Right.
We're just trying to kind of point out our, you know,
and be honest about it and have integrity about it. But you know, I'm not going to put somebody on the spot and say, oh, here's somebody you either have worked for in the past or might work with, and now you're going to have to trash their film. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know.
So, I guess that means you're not working with
Charles Cullen.
Charles Cullen.
You know what? I don't care.
So no, you're not going to be applying for Curse of the Mummy Squirrel anytime soon.
Paul, professional help. Get it.
You can throw something at him. No one can see you.
Right. Exactly. We'll just hear it go thud. The funny thing about it, like, okay, so season one, we did What the Fuck Friday. We started that. And we also started Film Freaks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Was that season one or season two?
Season one we started.
Season...
We only did like one or two, and then we ran with it later.
Yeah, then we ran with it later. And then that was Criterion Watch as well. And then season two, it was the first episode, at the end of season two, we did the first couple episodes of Indie Film Cafe Spotlight. And we continued that. So season one of Indie Film Cafe Spotlight was done. We went into season two, or we're going to go into season two in January, which we're really excited about because we got a special guest who was, you know, one of the people that we'll tell Jen later, but we don't want to spoil anything yet until we announce it. But we'll tell she might actually laugh at this. But we have some cool special guests that we're going to interview. We did interview Chris Seaver.
We did.
Which was cool. Did talk about Ski Wolf, you know, and my love for it.
Yay.
And he talked about Sex Squatch and his love for it.
Which we're going to see at some point. You have to watch Sex Squatch. It's awesome.
We did do those. So
the world of Chris Seaver awaits.
Oh, trust me, there's a lot. He's done like over 20 films,
so many wonderful things. The world of Kevin Strange awaits. We got to talk to Kevin Strange.
We got to talk to Kevin, which was really cool. I got to reconnect with Kevin. I haven't talked to him in forever, and thanks to Paul for setting that up and everything and asking me to join. We got to chat with Fred Olin Ray.
Awesome.
So we got to chat with a lot of people who have done these amazing things.
Deborah Lamb too. I mean,
I don't think so. Not yet. But I mean, we've been talking. She got cast in our series, but no, we haven't done that yet. Okay. We will. She wants to do stuff. It's just like timing, you know, and stuff. During the holidays is the worst time too.
The other thing about season three, which is pretty amazing, we actually did 24 episodes. The first two seasons we did 22 because we figured we're going to give us a little bit of time to, you know, be able to do other things. And even though our schedule has gotten more hectic because of all the other stuff, I have all these other podcasts going on too, because Zoom has made it easier for us, we were able to actually get in a 24.
And we're able to do two episodes a month. Right. So that was cool. Like, I actually talked to you about it. At one point you wanted to keep it with 22 at the beginning, just for consistency. And I said, well, I mean, why not do 24? Like,
it turned out that Zoom was really a time saver, and that helped out a lot.
So we're able to do that, two movies a month. I mean, we even said, like, if we can't do the other podcasts or whatever, we have to at least get our episodes of done each.
This is where our love for the podcasts is.
And I was able to bank a few, too, and I did not like that because I was sitting on a bunch of them that I might as well just wait, you know, before doing it. So I don't think that's going to end up happening in season, other than Yeah, in season
four. Well, we'll probably bank a couple while you're here.
Well, yeah, but those are going to go for the next, you know, for January. So, you know, we are going to record. We're planning to record two episodes for season four while I'm here.
Right.
One for me and one for Paul. And just like we did when you were visiting in L.A. Right. So now I'm visiting Virginia and, you know, whatnot. And Paul has said he might come out to L.A. sometime coming up because he found out, I guess, the trains are actually are cheaper.
Yeah, because I hate flying. I'm scared of heights.
So, yeah, so he doesn't like to fly, even though he did fly back. I'm very proud of you.
It is miserable experience flying anyway, so.
So, yeah, so we ended up, we're going to have you come back out to L.A. and shoot some more stuff. And then, let's see, we're finished with What the Fuck Friday, Film Freaks, and Criterion Watch for now. For at least for the year of 2021, there will be none of that. And then after that, we don't know. Like, we'll probably bring them back at some point.
We did Forgotten Horror Classics at the second half of season two. Managed to get through all of that with Lenore. And I think Rebecca was in one of those, and that finished. So
we're cycling out.
That was season two.
Well, I thought that also was part of season three.
It was part of it. Okay. We started in September of season two of last year.
So in part of season three, you finished that up. Then you started another podcast.
That's right. Sexploitation Sleazecast with Rebecca Reinhardt, where we're going to the serious body fluids and boobage and dangle kind of movies that are out there, because there's just a whole bunch of serious wackadoodle bad porn and bad sex movies that are out there. And, you know, they're just ridiculously terrible and a lot of fun in a totally different way that the people who made the movies were not expecting it. And so we started off with Bad Pussy, and we have not gone, you know, we haven't let up since. And so that's a really good one. And then we're also doing a video one that we're going to be doing, and that's going to be called Blue Cheese, and that's going to be cheesy, stinky movies on Blu-ray. Something I thought I would never do, but as time has gone on with our haul videos, because we continue to do a monthly haul video, I have found that sometimes it's just as cheap, if not cheaper, to go ahead and get those stinkers on Blu-ray because they're there. Why not?
So. And so you want to do a little review thing. Mm-hmm. So he's going to start that. I think you're going to do it mainly, and then I might jump on every now and then. Maybe we'll do a Zoom or something, you know, or whatever, and talk about ones that maybe we both have on Blu-ray. And then we did Quick Review Thursday for the first time. We also did, what's the other one?
Short reviews for short films.
Yeah, short, which we thought of when we were going in Las Vegas. We thought about it. So we did, you know, one in Las Vegas, and then we started putting those out for a little bit. And Shark Attack Sunday. So we're thinking of bringing a lot of those things back for season four. But right now, I mean, we got so much else.
Right. There's a lot going on. We don't want to keep the same stuff. In order to keep things fresh, we're cycling some shows out, doing other shows, and then bringing the other ones back. And, you know.
Right.
Forgotten Horror Classics will definitely be back. Those are actually good movies. I do have a lot of good movies. I swear to God. I promise you. And Criterion Watch, of course. Those are on the Criterion list.
Yeah, he does have good movies occasionally.
I got a whole pile of them. It's just, you know, finding people who are interested to watch them.
So here's the podcast schedule for January 2021 as of now. And so we'll talk about these. The Monday, January 4th starts the writer's process episode, the newest episode. We started doing that with my co-writer, Colleen Tidd. So she and I have been, we just interviewed Jeffrey Reddick, who did the Final Destination, created those. And we're going to keep going with that. So the first Wednesday is Horror Film Lovers. So that'll be me and my friend Sarah Atkins, who joined us. And then Friday, January 8th is Hooked on Hitchcock. So we're going to do put the first one episode of that out there. That's me and G. Larry Butler talking about Hitchcock films. So and more obscure Hitchcock films.
I don't think Paige is too interested in that. Made a face.
So then Monday, January 11th will be my first IFC that we're going to do down here. Wednesday, January 13th is Hollywood Boulevard podcast, which I believe we're also doing down here if we can. Friday, January 15th is the Living on the B-Side, which is a new podcast I'm doing where I'm interviewing B-movie people, but we're going to talk about like their real life stuff, stories, you know, not just the stuff about their movie making, but about their life and, you know, like what's going on in that kind of more stuff. So Monday, January 18th is another episode of Sexploitation Sleazecast.
Yay.
Wednesday, January 20th is Frights of the Round Table, which we'll be bringing back, which I originally was going to leave and do stuff, but I was like, let me bring that back, you know, whatnot. I don't have any other reason not to. Friday, January 22nd, 80s horror films, which I started back with Rebecca, Julianne Prescott, as well as Joe Gonzalez, who's a podcaster herself, and and Mackenzie will sometimes be joining us. Maybe you'll be joining us. We might have other special guests for that. Monday, January 25th is your IFC episode. Then Wednesday, January 27th is Hollywood Knockbusters, which I brought back last year, this past season. Then we're going to bring back totally. And then Friday, January 29th is Horror, Blood, and Coffee. So Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays will be booked. I mean, we're going to try to do it until like October or so at least.
And this is all in addition to, you know, Sick Flick TV stuff, Sick Flick production stuff. We got there's just tons of
things. Yeah, I'll be back
in
next year. I'll be back in March to do, we're going to do Tales from Echo Lake. So we're going to film some of that stuff. We also got a short we might even be filming here.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, you know, probably maybe doing a podcast or two if we have time, you know, to get something, finished or whatever. So,
and I hope to be doing some short film stuff here too.
Yeah. So we are busy.
Busy.
That was the funniest thing about the first season. You know, like, the first season was kind of busy, but, like, we did it, we started the whole thing of doing it, like, you know, one, you do one, I do one, and everything. Then it just kind of, season two, it kind of took a different turn. Season three, it's taken even, you know.
Right, COVID's kind of upset our plans, but in the same way, it also kind of made things better.
And we like doing it where Paul might have me come on Zoom and do an episode with him. And I may do the same thing, have him come on mine. But we also like doing it where we're going to have other people. So you might have just Jen or Paige wants to come back and try and see what.
Oh, yeah. I
want to
come back.
Oh, yes. Yay! We did not get that yet.
Awesome.
That just made me happy.
That makes me very happy,
too.
Oh,
we thought you were done.
Oh, no. I would love to come back and trash talk stuff.
Outstanding. You got to find her a 10.
Yeah. Well,
find her a 30.
Give her something a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. We got to catch her up on some of the other stuff. I'm dying to see what you're going to say about Roller Gator. It's such an adorable movie.
Oh,
God. I mean, how could you not like a small, wrapping, purple, plastic alligator?
She's just like, she doesn't have any words for that.
Awesome.
But yeah, so yeah, that's awesome. So we'll have, like, you can have Paige, we'll have
Jen. You'll still be popping in from time to time, yes?
Oh, she has not left us yet. Yeah. I mean,
yet.
Yeah. But that's the funny thing is, like, you know, when you did tell us in the end of season one, mm-hmm, that you had to leave
you're still working
multiple jobs. Like, you know, mm-hmm, we're happy to have you when you can, but, you know, we understand.
Always a plus.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So you were there.
She makes yummy Jell-O.
Yes. And other treats that she's had. I mean, Jell-O isn't the only thing. But yeah, she
requested it.
Do you still have your website?
Yeah. Jen cooks
that, yeah.
Yeah, Jen cooks that.
It's on Instagram, or do you have
on Instagram as well.
Okay, yeah. But do you have a jencooksthat.com, or?
Oh, you're going to ask me the difficult stuff. I don't remember what it's on. I think it's a Blogspot.
Oh, right, okay.
Blogspot.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you go to the Instagram, and it's J-E-N-N cooks that.
And if you go to our Indie Film Cafe reviews site, you will find the link to it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. The latest one, which I still need to write up, was from Thanksgiving. Oops. The Lady Baltimore Cake, which was in several of my old cookbooks.
Okay.
It turned out beautifully.
And then when it was transported, the icing didn't sit and sort of oozed. Aww. It still tasted good. It just looked really, really.
It just didn't have that, like, look, right?
Yeah, it just looked funny. It didn't looked sad. Play well. Yeah.
Melted frosting's good.
Heck yeah.
This is my first time making boiled frosting.
Oh, dear.
You add hot syrup to egg whites and sugar, and it was very, very interesting.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. But it was good. It was good.
And then Ms. Paige here, who's been doing some modeling for me, which I appreciate. And
big-ass swords.
Yes. Yeah, big-ass swords. Gotta like that. We're slowly bringing her into the Indie Film Cafe and Sick Flick Productions fold, where hopefully we can get you to do more stuff, maybe do some acting, maybe do some more podcasting. I don't know if you have any other activities that you kind of want to expand on or talk about.
We'll get there at some point.
We'll get there at some point, but she's very keen on joining the group and adding her talents to the mix, which we appreciate.
Trust me. I mean, when he was telling me that you wanted to come and everything, I was excited, you know. Yeah, like, I've been, like you said, you wanted to meet me. That's the main reason why you wanted to come. I wanted to meet you. And then I'm sorry that it was this one, but, you know, I mean, nothing I could do about that. That's Paul, you know.
The curse, like, of Moody Cat.
I mean, I think you might have liked Bride of the Monster a little better, you know, honestly. But,
well, I mean, I wanted to meet with you because, like, you know, the communication that we've had on Facebook. And I've seen, like, you know, the stuff that you've posted and the stuff that you've done and in connection with him and, like, you know.
Wait, you still wanted
to? Ba-doom-tsh. Oh, I was waiting for that. but yeah, no, it was wonderful. We were just really excited. We've talked a lot, you know, through stuff. So we are just really excited to have you here as part of our group. And I think, like, unfortunately, Lenoir had to go back home. Right. And so that was a big heartbreak for you.
She has to finish her degree. And, you know, she may be coming up later in the month to visit. I'm hoping. She said
also, she can do Zoom with us still, too. She can do Zoom with us.
The thing is, you know, she's a low talker. So I found that, I don't know if you could tell, but in that particular episode, she doesn't really project as much. It's easier to just, when she's here, I can just stick the microphone in front of her.
Right.
And it's, you know, she comes out a bit more. But, you know, her future is to be determined. She may be going to grad school and she may be doing it here. It's all kind of up in the air. So she may be coming back. We just don't know.
Okay.
And even if she does, you know, having been there myself, I can tell you grad school is a lot of work. So I'm not even exactly sure how much she'll be able to help out. Maybe now and again. We'll have to see. But
that's what she did this year anyway.
We would certainly love her back.
She came back every now and then to help you. And we've still got Rebecca or, you know, any of these amazing people.
Joe's local.
Sorry, we're going to have him on the recap. But he's been going through a lot of stuff going on.
Rimaku, we were hoping it was going to show up. But
Rimaku couldn't, unfortunately. But she'll be back, you know.
That's good.
We'll definitely have her back.
She's a good egg, too.
I guess, you know, that's about, you know, what's going on. Is there anything else? Like, did we miss anything that, because we did the recap and we talked about the ones kind of, I mean, similar to the ones we did already.
I think that's pretty much it. I think we can officially put 2020 and COVID and all this stuff for this year behind us and look to the new year.
Real quick though. We did, right before we left or whatever, we went on our little trip and everything, and we got to go see the country, you know, which was pretty...
That was fun.
Pretty cool.
It was
and
exhausting,
then,
but it
yeah,
was fun.
It was exhausting. We got to go to Vegas for 2 days, which is... I'd never been to Vegas, so, like, fun. Him, it was like, oh, I've been to these places. You actually played... was it craps or something?
I don't even remember, but yeah, I played a little bit.
Yeah, you did a little bit of gambling. I did not. I didn't have money for that kind of stuff, but I do like watching people, like, throw their money away, you know?
Well, you know, some people think that me buying movies like Curse of the Cat, Money Cat, is throwing money away, too.
Well, I mean, if you enjoy it, I guess it's not. But you
ding,
don't
ding,
really.
Ding.
But you don't enjoy. I mean, if you gamble, you don't enjoy throwing the thing and then just losing that money. You know.
I generally am not a gambler. I almost never do it. But you know, when you're
Vegas, I mean, and
I
you
had
get
a limit.
This...
I had $50. I was like, well, once that's gone, that's it, and I walked away, and that's what it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because I've got an addicting personality, and if I said I have $50, I would have tried my hardest to find more money and, you know, all that fun stuff. So, anywho, yeah, that's about it. Like, we had a crazy year. We're done. with 2020, and we're looking forward to 2021 and the fact that we have survived COVID, you know, and everything. And it's actually made us stronger, you know, is a big deal. So I really appreciate everybody being here. I appreciate this show going on and continuing. And I think season four, if Paul thinks season three was, you know, getting pretty crazy, I'm imagining season four being even nuttier.
It's good because at one point I remember you came to me when you were first going to leave LA saying, I don't think I can do Indie Film Cafe anymore. I may have to just turn it over to you and let you do it. And you ended up backpedaling from that pretty quickly, but for a little while there, I was a little worried. I'm like, I don't know if anybody's gonna like stepping away from it.
Oh no, I would have been bored, you know, especially in LA where I can do a million things, but then, you know, I don't have the money. So a lot of times I was at my apartment watching movies or something, you know.
There you go.
Which one of my friends was trying to tell me not to bring my movies to LA. One of them said because they thought that's all I would do is sit in my room and watch TV. True, maybe a lot of times I did that, but here's the thing. I did it for a cause, generally. I'm watching these movies so I can review them or talk about them, you know, than just watching movies. Sometimes I just watch movies, but, you know. The whole point is that, you know, I was able to bring them out, enjoy everything, and have a good time. And everybody, you know, everybody had a good time. Join us for the first episode. And, you know, back, we will be doing it here. And I have a little treat for
you've
everybody.
Already got one picked out.
Oh, you know which one. I think I told you about it. So,
okay.
You know.
I'm not gonna give any hints.
Yeah. But, yeah, you'll be... you've never seen it, so
okay.
I guarantee you've never seen it. So,
that's right.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. And
so if we have any volunteers, we are looking for somebody else to join in the next one for my episode while Jonathan's here. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Jumping into the void. I'm proud of you, Paige. Outstanding. But obviously, just Jennifer, whenever you're ready to jump to come in again, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now we got to pace you a little bit.
I know.
I'm busy the end of the year.
Oh.
Sitting in jobs and family. And
we were glad you came out for this one.
Yes, and we appreciate it.
For
we
this stuff. Because you, yeah, we definitely always like having you around for us. So, all right. Well, I guess that is it.
That's it.
You know, thank you guys so much. Join us for season four. And then we're going to keep going.
I mean,
I don't know. This show's not going to take a hiatus, but a lot of the other podcasts do because we got so much going on. But this is our primary show.
And I have thousands and thousands of movies to go over. So never going to run out of material, that's for sure.
Well, that's good to know for all of us. All right. And everybody listening. So thank you guys so much, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And join us soon.
Bye. Backwards cow says, oom, 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 oom. Backwards cow says, oom, oom, oom.